So let's turn now to the Word of God, and we're turning to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. You'll find my text in verse 11, my motto text for 2017. It is a prayer for difficult times, and that is really what I want to leave with you this morning, a prayer for difficult times. If you look there at verse 11, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said," this is what he prayed in difficult times, "Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest in thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee." It's a rather long motto text, and so I have decided to lift out of the text itself four words that we can use and keep before us as a motto text for 2017. And I think you've guessed what those words are. We rest on thee for 2017. We rest on thee for 2017. Now, if you look at those words before you, you can put a circle around "we" and then find the word "thee," and you can put a circle around that particular word. Asa was a man of God, therefore the "we" refers to those in Christ, to believers. And "thee," of course, refers to the Lord our God. So you have "we" and you have "thee," and then you have that vital link between the two. We rest on thee. They have this wonderful illustration in the New Testament where Christ says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And the picture I have in my mind is of Christ, who is the foundation of the church, and the superstructure built upon that foundation is the church. And so you can see the picture. The foundation is Christ. The church is built upon the foundation, and the church is saying, "We rest in thee." Christ is the one who upholds us. Christ is the one who undergirds us, child of God. And Christ is the one who supports us. And that is why the Lord has directed me to this particular text, to leave with you this motto text for the year that lies before us in the will of God. For no doubt, during this year that lies before us, we will need to rest on the Lord. So that's my text for today. We rest in thee. And these were the words of a man called Asa, the third king of Judah. And he was only a very young man when he became the king of the land. And he reigned for 41 long years. That was a long time to be upon the throne of Judah. His background was anything but promising. The court that he inherited was corrupt. The society of his time was rotten, and the moral atmosphere in the land was polluted. A little bit like the United States of America today. Furthermore, when he began to rule, he had to fight the influence of his grandmother, who was a supporter of idolatry. He was permitted a long reign of peace, during which times he inaugurated a series of reforms. We read that in the opening 8 verses of the chapter. And then in chapter 15, we discover that he expelled the Sodomites from the land. Away back then, they had Sodomites. They were the male prostitutes in these pagan temples. And that was the first thing he did. He got rid of the Sodomites out of the land of Judah. And then in addition to that, he got rid of the idols which his father had made. His father was an idolater. And then he deposed his grandmother as queen because of her interest in idolatry as well. And in addition to that, he repaired the altar of the Lord. He had a good testimony in his early days, for it says in verse 2, "Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." Underline that little word, "his." I do believe that Asa was a saved man, if we can use that term for that age in which he lived. He was a believer. He was a man who knew the Lord God in a very personal way. And God blessed and prospered him, and according to verse 7, gave him rest on every side. So there's prosperity. He's enjoying the blessing of God. He's enjoying peace in the land. God is doing great things for him. But peace, according to what we read before us, was not to last forever. The Ethiopians came against him with an army of 1 million soldiers, backed by 300 chariots, according to verse 9. And these soldiers were disciplined soldiers, they were experienced warriors, and they belonged to one of the most powerful nations of ancient times. Now we can only imagine Asa's feelings when he heard that this powerful force was invading his land. He probably thought, how can I hope to be successful in such a gigantic struggle as this? How am I going to cope? How am I going to face this great enemy? How can I ever hope to be successful in this battle that is facing me right now? His army only consisted of 580,000 fighting men, according to verse 8. Humanly speaking, it seemed that defeat was staring him in the face. So what could he do? He organized his troops and his men and placed them in the most strategic positions for battle. He did all that he could do, and then he did the all-important thing. He looked up, and he sought heavenly help. He sought heavenly aid. His prayer shows what we should do when faced with perplexing problems and difficult situations in the year that lies ahead. Here is a prayer to remember in 2017. Here is a prayer to keep before you in the days and weeks and months that lie before us. Asa's prayer is well known to Christian congregations like this because of the hymn that we sang earlier by Edith G. Cherry. We rest in thee, our shield and our defender. What a thought that is for 2017. We rest in thee for 2017. Now let's have a look at this prayer. The first thing that I notice here is what he realized in prayer. Well, what did he realize in prayer? I think he realized something that we realize many, many times. We have no power. That's what he says here. Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Asa was powerless. His army was outnumbered 2-1. And that immediately brings to my mind of how Jesus described his disciples in Luke chapter 12, verse 32. He described his disciples as a little flock. So God's servant is facing a crisis. He's outnumbered 2-1, and he realizes that he has no power. Now this has been characteristic of Christianity over the years. You think of it, about 500,000 soldiers facing 1 million soldiers. Those who teach and those who practice and those who express anti-Christian views today seem to be far superior in numbers to those who trust in God. That's the way it appears anyway. We look around the country and we can see that. And it is an alarming figure, an alarming picture that is presented to us. But that's life. That's where we are today. Just in the same situation that Asa faced all those years ago. We seem to be outnumbered. Many who oppose the gospel, many who hate the gospel of Jesus Christ are opposing us in our own communities, in our own areas, even in our own families. And we've got to realize this, that we have no power. But here's a good prayer to commence the year with. Here's a good prayer to continue the year with. And here's a good prayer to conclude the year with. We rest in thee, and in thy strength we go. We can face anything. We can face anyone in thy power and in thy strength. We have no power in and of ourselves, but we rest in thee. We depend upon thee. We're resting in the Lord our God. So you have the blessed scene in the opening 8 verses, followed by a battle scene in verses 9 through 10. The building is followed by the battling. Sometimes that's the way it is in life. We have times of blessing, times of prosperity, times when we sense the presence of God with us in a very special way. Those are blessed days, hallowed days, joyful days. But usually that blessed time will be followed by a time of battling, time of struggling, a time of opposition, a hard time. And we all face hard times, but we rest in him. We rest in thee, and in thy name we go. We've got to remember that and keep this before us. This was the first major military challenge of his career. We've only crossed the threshold into 2017. What will be the first major crisis that you'll face? I cannot tell. I suppose at this point of time it's unknown to you. But there will come a moment, there will come an hour, there will come a day, there will come a week, there will come a month of this year when you and I will face some great challenge, some great struggle, some great conflict. It was a crisis, but Asa remembered the Lord and said, "It is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power or might." Although Asa recognized that he was hopeless and helpless and without strength, he had faith in a strong God. That made the difference. That will always make the difference. We rest in thee, and in thy name we go. Asa's foe is mentioned, but Asa's faith is also manifest. We rest in thee. Remember what Jonathan said to his armor bearer. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6. And that word restraint is interesting. It means hindrance. Being outnumbered was nothing to God. Being outnumbered was nothing to Jonathan because he had faith in God. He believed that with God, God's people are in the majority. Asa felt that only God could adjust the difference between the strength of the king of the Ethiopians and his own weakness. We rest in thee, and in thy name we go. Remember what Elisha said to his faithless servant. Remember that day when the army came to arrest his master. He came out the front door, and they saw that great contingent of soldiers waiting to arrest his master. He was fearful, and he discovered there are more with us than they which be with them. That is true. God is with us. God the Father is with us. God the Son is with us. God the Holy Spirit is with us. The holy angels who attend the children of God are with us, just the way the angels and the chariots of God were around the hills where that servant of God stood that day. He got his eyes on God, you see. And it was the desire of the old servant of God for this young man to get a glimpse of what was available to him. We rest in thee. And in thy name we go. God is all powerful. God is omnipotent. God is everywhere present. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He's our God. And he's with us in all of the conflicts of life. Our sense of weakness ought to drive us to God. Pride will keep us from God. Humility will cause us to fall upon him, to rest in him, to trust in him. Asa cried unto the Lord. It was the sensible thing to do. And it was also the spiritual thing to do. Now, when you read verses 10 and 11, there's the setting of the battle in array. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array. And then in verse 11, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God. Now, you would think that he acted before he prayed, but that's not really the situation. Sometimes we act before we pray, and we lose the battle. But this man, he prayed. This was in his heart. This was him seeking God. He prayed before he engaged the enemy. He prayed and he sought the face of God first. So please do not misunderstand what's been said here. Please read it in its context. Asa engaged in prayer first. And then when he prayed, he went forth in God's name to take on the enemy. Men of faith know where help is to be found. The psalmist wrote, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord." We will remember the name of the Lord. That holy name, Jehovah, the Lord our righteousness, the covenant-keeping God, the one who remembers his people. Our names are inscribed in the palms of his hands. Our names are on the breastplate of our great high priest in glory. He bears our names in the presence of his Father upon his heart, that heart of love, that heart of compassion. He's remembering me now in glory in the Father's presence, holding up holy hands for me, presenting the merit of his blood for me, the merit of his sacrifice for me. This is the pathway to victory. This is the way to victory. This is the life of an overcomer, trusting in him, the one at God's right hand. We rest in thee, and in thy name we go. Remember what Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Asa's confidence as an example of faith for all times, we rest in thee. Now that word rest is interesting. It's not a word that is frequently used in the Bible, but it carries with it a very striking picture. It's used, for example, in the tragic story of Saul. The story of Saul in the Old Testament was a very tragic story. Remember, the man who saw him last came to David and told him how Saul ended his life. He leaned upon his spear to end his life. 2 Samuel 1 verse 6. How hard he must have leaned, how heavily his weight pressed upon that sword as he came to die. What a way to end his life. He had a promising start, but he was jealous of God's anointed king. He fought God's anointed king, and he died. I don't believe that Saul was truly the Lord's. I have to confess that. And now he comes to die, and he leans heavy upon his sword. That's the very same word that is used here in 2 Chronicles 14. We rest, we lean, we rely on thee as Saul leaned upon his spear at the end of his life. He put his entire weight upon the sword. How did he die? What thoughts were going through his mind as he came to the end of the journey? He died fighting against God's anointed, and God's anointed is a type of Christ, to die fighting against God's anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to go into a crisis eternity, to be damned for eternity, to be lost forever. Maybe 2017 will be the year you'll meet with God. Maybe 2017 will be the year you'll come to the caverns of the damned. Maybe 2017 will be the time you'll cross over and you'll be lost forever and you'll perish forever. But there's mercy with God. We rest in thee. We give the Beloved his rightful place. We trust in him. We believe in him. We repent of our sins. We come freely as the Holy Spirit draws us to the cross. We rest in him, and we put all of our confidence on him and in him. We rest in thee. This congregation will need to rest upon the Lord in the days to come. Pray that God will send a man who will love you as I have loved you, a man who will be faithful to the book and preaching the word of God, a man who will have a passion for souls, a man who will faithfully expound the scriptures, a better preacher, a better man, a holier man, a man with the anointing of God upon his life. Pray that God will be pleased to fill up these pews under his ministry and make him a firebrand in the pulpit, preaching the gospel, expounding the word, reaching the lost. Pray that God will send such a man, but you need to rest in the Lord. Let the Lord's will be done. Don't rush into anything. Take your time. Wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God is a man out there. God will send you a man in his own good time. Don't interfere. Leave it with the Lord. Steps have got to be taken. Measures have got to be put in place, and so on. We need to have men come in here in the interim period. We need to do that. We need to show sense and order in the house of God. But let God's man come. Don't let it be Saul. Let it be David. So in the days to come, this congregation will need to rest on the Lord. You need to rest on the Lord because you're part of this congregation. You're part of the body here. So what he realized in prayer, I have no power. We have no power. And then what he requested in prayer, well, what did he request in prayer? Look at the prayer again. Help us, O Lord, let not man prevail against us. Doesn't say that. Let not man prevail against thee. No stronger appeal could have been made. The word help means to aid. It means to assist, to succor the miserable and the destitute. And this is the position God's servant was taking. We're destitute. We're beggars. We have no strength. Our strength is in thee. We need thy help. We may be sure that if God is on our side, we will never be beaten. Hallelujah. We will never be in the defeated side. God's help is triggered by prayer. Now, let me just show you something from Psalm 46. This was a tremendous psalm, by the way. Asa was to prove what the psalmist proved in Psalm 46. Remember that psalm, Martin Luther's psalm, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, verse 1. So God is our refuge, we need not fear. We have a rock and a weary land to find shelter in. Hallelujah. verses 1 through 3, we need not fear. God is our strength, we need not faint. Verses 4 through 7, God is our help, we need not fret. So that's a good way to divide up this Psalm 46 in a threefold way. God is our refuge, we need not fear. God is our strength, we need not faint. And God is our help, we need not fret. God is our refuge, he hides us. God is our strength, he helps us. And when you read through Psalm 46, we go from the turbulent sea. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We have the picture of a turbulent sea. We move from a turbulent sea to a quiet river. Verse 4, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Now, Jerusalem did not have a river. To compensate for this, Hezekiah the king dug an underground water system that brought water into the city. They started at the two different ends and they worked their way in and they met right in the middle. That was a tremendous feat away back in those times. Unbelievable. The great skill and ability God gave to men away back in those times. And in that way they brought water into the city. We too must live on hidden resources. Nobody knew that the water was coming in from a spring outside. That was carefully covered, you see. It was a hidden stream. So when the enemies came against Jerusalem, they realized, well, there's no water supply in there. But they were deceived because there was a water supply. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. There was water inside, brought from the outside by this man raised up of God to save his people in their time of need. We, thank God, have hidden resources. There is a river that flows from Mount Zion. And the word trouble, God is a refuge and strength, a very present time and trouble. That word trouble means a tight place or a straight place. Have you ever been in a straight place, a tight place? Have you ever been in a corner? I'm sure some of us have had that experience down through the years. And then he says in verse 10, be still. Be still and know that I am God. And that word translated, be still, actually means take your hands off and let me be God in your life. So he says, okay, you're having problems and difficulties, but he says, be still, take your hands off and let me be God in your life. Let me take charge of your life for 2017. We can roll the stone away from the tomb of Lazarus. That's something we can do, but only Christ can raise the dead. We've got our limitations, you see. We can hand out the bread, but only Christ can multiply the bread. You see, we have our limitations. The Lord can take us, and the Lord can use us, and the Lord can bless us, but we're limited in what we can do. But when we can't do any more, then thank God that gives him the opportunity to do only what he can do, to encourage us and to let us know what he alone can do. That's what we need to see in this church. We need to see God doing something that only he can do in this congregation. The psalmist said, by my God have I leaped over the wall. Now what does that mean? Psalm 18 verse 29. It probably refers to the writer of the psalm, if it was David, having taken some remarkable town by scaling the ramparts. That's the way they did it in those times. There was no stopping him, you see. That's the point. By my God have I leaped over a wall. By my God there's no stopping me, because I'm resting in him. I'm trusting in him. There was some obstacle in the way. Remember the woman on that resurrection morning? They were coming to the sepulchre and they had all these worries. Who's going to roll away the stone? How are we going to attend to the body? How can we minister to him? And they had all these thoughts in their mind as they were coming to that place. And when they arrived there, an angel of the Lord had appeared and rolled away the stone. The obstacle that they had in their mind was removed, and the angel of the Lord was sitting upon the stone. Many a time we worry about things that never really happen, and we're all the same. And just like these women, when they came, they discovered that the thing that they thought was standing in the way had been removed by God. That was something he did, and he ministered to them in that way. Help us, O Lord. Let not man prevail against thee. Only God can help us out of seemingly impossible situations. You mark my words. You will have one of these situations maybe sooner than you think. It might just come like that, like a flash of lightning. It may happen in the morning, it may happen at noon, it may happen at night. Something will come, something will happen. And when it does happen, remember this message. Remember this prayer. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Help us, O Lord. Let not man prevail against thee. Help us, Lord, for we are weak and hopeless and helpless. What he requested in prayer, what he recognized in prayer, we rest in thee, and in thy name we go. Asa relied on the Lord, yes, but he also recognized his responsibility to act. We rest in thee, that's his confidence. We go against this multitude. God is sovereign, but man is responsible. If God is going to save souls, he will use the means he has ordained, the praying of the people of God, the preaching of the gospel. He will use these things ordained to that end. He will use the people of God and stir their hearts to pray for those things that are agreeable to the mind and will of God. He will use the preaching of the word of God to bring conviction to hearts, to bring them to a knowledge of Christ, whom to know is life eternal. We rest in thee, and in thy name we go. We will do all that we can, and then we'll allow God to do all that he can do only. In thy name we go against this great multitude. The writer reminds us that Asa and his people were not inactive, and the Lord destroyed the power of the Ethiopians, that great army. As Asa and his men went forth, they found that the Lord gave them the victory as they stepped out by faith. They had to take that step of faith and go forward in his name. And that's the hard part. That's the part that is ever so hard, taking that step of faith. That's why it's called the step of faith. And when we take that step of faith, the Lord suddenly intervened by his grace and by his power and dealt effectively with the enemy army. Just the way he took off the wheels of Pharaoh's chariots, so he intervened at this time. Oliver Cromwell once told his soldiers to trust in God and at the same time to keep their powder dry. I like that. Trust in God did not mean that they could neglect the use of means to bring about the desired end. They would not win the battle if they were careless about their weapons and ammunition. Faith in God does not excuse carelessness or stupidity or laziness. That is why Asa strengthened his defenses. He was proactive prior to the coming of the enemy. During those 10 years of peace, he fortified his cities. He built walls and strong towers around his cities. And he prepared his army for such an event as this. During those years of peace, he did those things. He did not wait until the wolf was at the door before trying to avert disaster. He expanded, he trained, and he equipped his army so that he had at his command a combined force of 580,000 soldiers, all men of valor. He recognized that God is sovereign, but at the same time, he recognized his responsibility to engage the enemy, to go against them and to fight. The very best he had was not good enough. The 580,000 soldiers that he had rallied were not good enough. He needed God. And what we have is not good enough. We need God. He had these men at his disposal. Then what he received in prayer. The Lord smote the Ethiopians, or he struck them. This was a fatal blow. And the Ethiopians never recovered. They never regained their strength again. God humbled this proud army. God dealt effectively with this proud foe. Asa received a mighty answer to prayer. God did an unbelievable thing. He did it in answer to prayer. The battle commenced. The armies met in mortal combat. So you have this massive army moving forward, 1 million soldiers, 300 chariots. You have then, on the other side, the opposite side, about 500,000 soldiers. They're outnumbered, but God is with them, you see. God's in the midst of his people. The proud army marches on to apparent victory. Soon we will master them, but we rest in thee, and in thy name we go. Jehovah was marching with the 580,000. The Lord blew upon the enemy, just like that. And he stepped in a powerful fashion. And the enemy was scattered like autumn leaves before the wind. God just blew upon that massive army. The victory over superior Numbers may easily be paralleled by some striking example, even from secular history. Some of you are into history. Remember at Marathon how the Greeks routed a Persian army 10 times as big as their own. This was a far greater victory. God fought for his people. The enemy fled, according to verse 12, and could not recover themselves. Verse 13, this is the work of faith, and faith gains the day. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Oh God, give us faith to believe in 2017. Give us faith in a great, big, wonderful God who wants to lavish things upon his church. He wants to give his people many things. He wants to give the increase. He wants to give victory to his people. He wants to set you on fire, child of God. He wants to live through you. He wants to shine through you. He wants to flow through you to your community, to your family, to your children, to your home. He wants to take you, yes me, and he wants to do great things through us for the glory of God. Asa was not only relieved by that great victory, but he was greatly enriched because they obtained immense amounts of spoil and plunder as well as that great victory. The story that begins with a great threat ends with a great triumph. And the result was the fear of the Lord fell upon all the cities involved in that particular incident. The Lord's name was glorified. The servant of God was encouraged. The people of God were also encouraged in the Lord. When Elizabeth I of England, when her fleet defeated the Spanish Armada in 1588, the grateful piety of Protestant England felt that the breath of God had destroyed its foes. The Armada was coming to take over England. And what did God do? He blew upon the ships as they came. He sent out a wind. He sent out a storm. And he safeguarded England from Romanism for the glory of God. Lord, do it again. Do it here in the United States of America. Lord, wilt thou not come and do it again? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the question. Well, is there? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is a resounding no! Hallelujah! No! Nothing is too hard for God. On his triumphant return to Jerusalem, the Spirit of God came upon a man called Azariah. He had a word from God. He had a word in season. He wanted to warn God's servant to humble himself, to give God the glory. And I think there's no greater time to fear than just after a time of victory. He had seen a great victory wrought in the battlefield. And there's always the tendency after a great victory to drop our guard. And that's why God, in his faithfulness, sent his servant with a word from God. Be careful. Tread warily. Be watchful. Be prayerful. God is faithful. We ever need to heed the word of God. Asa's prayer begins and ends with an appeal to God with human faith in the middle, surrounded by the protective power of the covenant God. The story is actually in three parts: the Ethiopian invasion, the plan of the enemy, the human involvement, the prayer of the saint, and the divine intervention, the power of the Lord. So there you are. There is a motto text that will see you through every day, every week, every month of 2017. What a prayer it is. And never forget those words: we rest on thee for 2017. And may God be pleased to bless you. And God be pleased to bless this congregation and bless you and your congregation at home. And God make his church vibrant, full of fire, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. And may our enemies fall before us, as they did away back then when this man prayed. Help us, for we rest on thee. We'll bow for prayer.